We all have a place to live. It may be under a tent. It may be in a ramshackle house. It may be in a very great stately mansion. We all have a place to live. We all have ways to travel. We go about our activities one way or another, and we do that. We all have things to eat and drink. We're a part of it, some more than others and some less than others, but we all have something like that along the way. We all have a way of meeting up with the teacher, with Lord, in our lives. Those are things of life that we have around us. And in the Bible, we have an example of Jesus meeting up in John chapter 4 with a woman who lived at a place, who went on a journey, who was drawing water, and all of this added up to a relationship that she could have with Jesus. Join me now as your Bible right there in front of you in John chapter 4, and we'll get in front of this. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that John made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, 'I have no husband,' for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The reading of the whole chapter is a beneficial thing for us to note. For we see back over in this particular thing that there are disciples who come up. Verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. And yet no man saith, why seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman that left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? It's beneficial to us to read anything and all things of the Scripture, but we see a lot of things that pertain to the lesson that I put together for this morning's study about relationships with the Lord. A relationship of where to live. This woman lived in a city called Sychar. Sychar was one that was set forth. Joseph perhaps was buried there. In Genesis 48, verse 22, it talks about the time in which Jacob furnished this particular dwelling place to his son. But the idea is for sure a place that you and I probably would not desire to live. It seems that as the Babylonians came through in the days in which they took the place of the southern kingdom, that they came upon this city of Sychar, and they really despised it, for its meaning was a household of tombs, the places of the dead. Many grave sites were there. Many places for the dead were there. This was not a place given to industry coming in. A lot of build-up of good things to happen. Jobs related to people. She was a woman who was coming, and as she traveled along the way, it may very well have been by foot, that she traveled in the heat of the day to come to a well that had, generally speaking, nobody there. She didn't want anybody there. But here was a man who was sitting at the well, who was from Jerusalem, Bethlehem proper, and he asked of her a drink of water from the well. She noted that this was strange, for there was no relationship for that to exist between her from Samaria, from Sychar, and this one from Judea, from the Jews. Yet he made the point to her that if you really would see the relationship you could have with me, if you really could see the one who asked of you this drink of water, you'd know who I am. You would ask of me, and I would give you water from which, if you drink of it, you never, ever thirst again. In fact, you contemplate this, and you're thankful for this, and your life of prayer, your life of service goes on and on and on because of this event taking place. The relationship you have with me is a relationship that is spiritual, is a relationship that is godly, it is a relationship that is righteous. This relationship is proper. But I need to talk to you about these things in the presence of your husband. Go and get your husband and bring him here. Verse 16. But this woman answered and said, I really don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you've told the truth. You've had five husbands. And the man that you're now living with over there in Sychar, there's a man who will not give you his name, no dependability to you at all. and you are there in that place. And this is what you're in. Your relationship that you have is not a relationship meaningful like I'm telling you about. This relationship that I'm telling you about is a water that's living water. She misunderstood totally in this regard and was thinking only about how far it was to the well and how that she had a heavy load to carry. You know, water, I think, weighs about 8 pounds when it's in a bucket of water, in a gallon. And she had this way of doing that. I know that in science and chemistry studies, they ask us a question along the way, and in that day and time, you think about all the things. Which weighs more, a gallon of oil or a gallon of water? And they were talking about the kind of thing, what floats on water? Well, oil floats on water. Water floats on oil. It does that way. We talked about the weight of it. It's a burden if you have water to carry with you anyway. In the process of her life, she was working the idea of making life easier for herself. Give me of this water that I might drink it and never thirst. Furthermore, help me with this that I don't have to come back and draw any more of the water for my live in and for myself. What relationship do you and I have with the Lord in the place that we live? Are we from time to time in prayer thankful for the provision that we have, the mentality of building a dwelling that will sustain the winds and the rains that come, various things that take place in our lives? Do we have that relationship with Him? Do we have that relationship with Him, with His holy word, that as we drink of the water He gives to us, we really do not ever thirst again? Or we may continue our joy that's involved with being satisfied by that which we drink. We enjoy so much that relationship with Him and rejoice His word. For His word tells us of salvation. His word tells us of compassion. His word tells us of patience. His word tells us of the presence of His Heavenly Father, even to the point that in Matthew 24, in reference to Jesus coming again, He tells them, I do not know when I will return. My Father only knows. But as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying. They were given in marriage. They knew it not till the flood came and took them all away. Even so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. It is the case that we will be living life so that we do not think about Him until suddenly the trumpet sounds and suddenly His appearance is there. And it's almost too late for us to stop and say, I've been a person of prayer. I've been a person of thoughtfulness. I've been a person of kindness, just as Jesus was. To the contrary, our relationship will have been thrown away where this woman had the relationship not understood to begin with. When we throw our relationship away and there's sickness and illness that comes in our families and our lives, is God a stranger to us to pray unto Him, our Father, which art in heaven? Is it the case that we really think of Him as a hallowed being? Hallowed be thy name. Is it the case that we understand the nature of His kingdom? That in saying the statement that He made in Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom has come, because the kingdom did come on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And the church at Colossae is told regarding that membership in the kingdom of His dear Son, how we were drawn from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom there is redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace. That relationship was a full, sustaining relationship from which we find ourselves have thirst no more. We've been saved, forgiven of our sins, have a hope within, And any time the trouble and difficulties come our way, we're people who speak forthrightly to God, our Father who art in heaven, our Savior who is there, our Lord who is there. We understand that the nature of reading in His Word brings about the compassion and the patience and the righteousness, the salvation, the understanding of justification in Him, so that we're made right by the things we say and that we do. How would you like to live in a dwelling that had someone who came to build that place, and he didn't care whether it was structured well? He didn't care if it was, in fact, ordered in a way that it would stand up. It was one of those that would stand for a time, but a little wind blowing on it, a little rain coming on the joints, eventually that house would begin to lean and sag, and if not altogether, fall in. How would we enjoy that? How would we get the value of that house out of it when that took place? No relationship is in there like that that we should have. When you and I find the Word of God as a part of our relationship in life, we're not so hungry and thirsty to get the information so much as we know that the information is there. And thus, as we read along the way, we drink more of that water from which we ever thirst again. We drink more of it, and it's fine, and it's wonderful, and it's a relationship we have with Him, and how thankful we are that we can live life, have Him an answer to our prayers, a hope for our tomorrow, a way of life to live with our families. It's a wonderful way in which to live. Jesus says to this woman, "This is the way to go." When the disciples came back, they were amazed that you're sitting there talking to a woman. No one's criticizing you for this. What's going on here? And our Lord Jesus noted this particular thought to them. He said in this manner, "I am He." When you talk about the Christ and His way of life, "I am He. I am the one that the prophets predicted would come. I am the one that the Father, through the prophets, predicted would come. I am here to give you water to drink from which you never thirst again. The relationship I have with you can be seen in everything that you do." What a blessing it is to have that relationship with Him. And I want you to note, He mentions the fact that true worshipers are sought by the Father to worship Him in spirit and in truth. True worshipers in spirit and in truth. True worshipers are those who look into the Bible, look into the description about worship, and see that if we partake of the Lord's Supper incorrectly, we eat and drink condemnation to our soul. Check it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If we're people who love the Lord and show a proof of our love in giving, and the collection is taken on the first day of the week for that purpose, we find ourselves approved of God. But if we find ourselves giving without joy within our hearts and without a peace within our spirit, a look forward in faith to the things that are being done with that funds for the good of others round about us, we find ourselves giving in such a way that it's just filthy lucre, just filthy money. And it's much more than that. It's a proof of our love. As we go along in life, will our relationships be solid in that way? Our relationship with the Lord. Now, we'll want that kind of relationship with the husband or wife that we have and we meet. We'll want that kind of relationship with our children that we rear. We'll want that kind of relationship with the church and the local congregation with which we'll be members. We'll want that relationship right and left with our job corps and the work that we're doing in that matter of the service that we render for our monies that we make. We'll want that honorable way of life to be lived out in every relationship that we have. Why would we not want our soul to have that relationship with Him of where we live and how we go about our lives and the worship that we do and the water that we truly drink. It's different than just the water to satisfy our physical thirst. It's a relationship water. And we find ourselves drinking of it over and over again, not because we're thirsty to lose it, but because it is so much a part of our hearts and lives. What a blessing. I hope it'll be a blessing to you that are listening by way of our internet system around the world. The relationship with the Lord comes about from things sometimes that we do and things of which we're a part. But the thing that we see is not at all what someday we shall enjoy. What a blessing. Here's a song today that invites you to come to Jesus and obey Him and be baptized into Christ, or to be renewed in your faith and repentance and prayer to that first love. It is a way of life that we see when we come to a feast. What does a feast mean to us? Well, it can be a spiritual meaning, and the songwriter set that forth in this song to be a spiritual meaning. And as we do eat of that, we find the meat of which Jesus said in this chapter, John 4, I have meat to partake of that you know not. You don't realize the physical meat is not the real thing. The body will ultimately perish. But the meat that I will give you, that is energy and strength for the way that you go. What a blessing it is. Come as we stand and as we sing together today.